Hi, this is Randy Wimmer, and welcome back to the Entrepreneur Sound Off. Today's topic is specifically tailored towards veterans. If you've ever served in uniform, either on active duty or in the reserves, this topic is specifically for you. Now, that's not to say that if you're not a veteran, you shouldn't listen to it. There's going to be a ton of great information that I provide here. However, this one is kind of special and somewhat tailored to this particular group of aspiring entrepreneurs, veterans. There are five facts that every veteran should know regarding the federal government contracting industry before they make a decision of what market space that they should be launching their company. Now, in other podcasts, I've talked about the four areas of analyses that we should all perform before we make that leap. And those are, what are your personal goals? What's the market demand in each specific industry? What's the competitive landscape look like? You know, is there enough elbow room to elbow your way in there to get a piece of the pie? And your capabilities and experiences and interests. So those are those four areas that I say that you should really find the intersection of all four of those to find that optimal premium market space to launch your company. Now, I'm going to dare say that for veterans, that intersection can, should they want it to, reside in the federal government contracting industry. Here's why I say that. I say that for the following five facts. Here's fact number one. The 2022 President's budget request, there are massive amounts of dollars that are directly relevant to veterans' experiences. What am I talking about? I'm talking about the Department of Defense. I'm talking about the intelligence community. I'm talking about Department of Homeland Security, parts of Department of Energy, and as well as the State Department. In DOD alone, the request was for $715 billion, that's with a B, dollars. Intelligence, it's at least, for the intelligence community, it's at least $85 billion. Department of Homeland Security, another $52 billion. VA, $270 billion. DOE, DOS, State Department, you can add on some more money on top of these staggering numbers already. There's so much money that's budgeted for areas that are aligned with veterans' experiences. The second fact is that the small business set-aside program in the federal government contracting industry is unique. It's unique. So what does this program look like? Well, this program has a goal that 23% of all government contracting dollars, and I'm talking about all of these dollars that are going to be put on a prime contract, 23% of them at least will go to small businesses on prime contracts. That's a big number. That's a really big number. 23% of all government contracting dollars will be awarded to small businesses on prime contracts. It gets even better. The second goal, and this is the goal that most people don't think about or talk about, is that between 29 and 30% of all of these massive contract dollars, we're talking about the kind of contracts that can only go to a massive company like a Northrop Grumman or a Boeing or Lockheed Martin, that 29 to 30% of their contract value must go to small businesses in the form of subcontracts. 29 to 30%. Now, here's the good news. They're exceeding both the 23% for the prime contracting dollar goals, and they're also exceeding the 29 to 30%. It's closer to a third, 33% for the subcontracting dollar goals for small businesses. They're exceeding these small business set-asides. Now, I said that this was unique. What do I mean by that? Well, let's just say that the fast food restaurant industry had a similar program. that would entail having Ronald McDonald standing out in front of the Golden Arches, diverting between 29 and 30% of his drive-through traffic to New Guy's Burgers, the new small business joint down the street. Now, I don't think that's ever going to happen. So, this is a very unique program that levels the playing field. You don't have to compete against the Ronald McDonald's and the Burger Kings of our industry. You get to compete against other small and new businesses for prime contracts and to also get on the subcontracting teams. Now, I just told you that we are crushing our small business set-aside goals. Well, we are the big number. In general, at the macro level, you know, we are giving a ton of work as a federal government to small businesses. However, there's one other detail of the small business set-aside program that I didn't discuss, and that's going to be highlighted in fact number three. In addition to generic small businesses getting 23% of prime contract dollars and between 29 and 30% of these large, massive prime contracts and dollars in the form of subcontracts, they even break it down further and they say there are four specific types of small businesses that we want to ensure get a minimum amount. And now this is a minimum amount. And these four unique types of small businesses include women-owned small businesses, historically underutilized business zone small businesses, 8A program companies, which are predominantly minority-owned businesses, and service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses. Now, I'm going to ask a rhetorical question because it's a podcast and can't answer. The rhetorical question is, what percentage of disability do you need to have in order to be a service-disabled veteran? You know, so you can launch a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. Well, that number is, stand by, 0%. You have to have a disability letter of any percentage disability rating to include 0%. It could be 10%. It could be 15%. It doesn't have to be 100%. In fact, you know, the overwhelming majority of service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses are probably hovering around the 10%. That would be my guess. Now, so that's how easy it is to become a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. Have a disability letter showing a 0% disability rating. Now, you got to go through the process. It's a lengthy process to get a disability rating. And but most of the veterans that I know who go through that, i.e. all of them, with the exception of one, there was a weird one that didn't do it, that didn't get a 0% disability, you know, rating. He didn't get a disability letter. But I still believe that that was probably because he didn't submit his paperwork properly, for example. So everybody, every veteran that I know of that has submitted and gone through the process has at least gotten a 0% disability rating and a disability letter to become a service-disabled veteran-owned small business. Now, of the 24 government organizations that fall underneath the purview of the Small Business Set-Aside Program, over half failed to meet the minimum earmark for service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses in either the subcontracting or the prime contracting, you know, goal category. They really struggle in the subcontracting goal category. 14 out of 24 agencies and government organizations failed to meet their SDVOSB subcontracting goals. Why? Well, because prime contractors could not find an appropriately qualified SDVOSB to partner with. So, and everybody's asking me, like, well, Randy, like, didn't you just say, you know, about how all these big time dollars are that's in the budget, you know, tied to veterans' experiences? That is 100% true. However, think about how many government organizations there are. And it has been my experience that veterans whether it be veteran-owned small businesses or service-disabled veteran-owned small businesses, they tend to focus on national security-related organizations. Now, if you leave that area of concentration and you get into Department of Agriculture, Department of Interior, Department of Education, you know, those types of organizations, it is difficult to find service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses who are active in those organizations. So if you are a veteran, you can take a look at your sweet spot, but also take a look at areas that aren't your sweet spot because they can't find enough SDVOSBs to give subcontracting work and, in many cases, prime contracting dollars to. Now, the fourth fact, now this one applies to everybody. The U.S. federal government is the world's largest customer. There is no close second. There really isn't. It is the federal government is, without question, the 2,000-pound gorilla in the room. Federal government, massive customer. And yet, only 5% of U.S. companies pursue federal government contracts. 5%. Five. Not 100%. not 50%, 5%. So what does that mean? Well, if you wanted to go after a large IT contract and you were looking at, let's say, Walmart's corporate office, any and everybody who does IT work would be very, very, very interested in landing that multi-gazillion dollar contract supporting Walmart's technology enterprise. But, so who would you be competing against? Well, you'd be competing against the big boys. We're talking about the IBMs, the Palo Alto Networks, the Khakis. I'm talking about the really, really big companies. Now, let's just say that an equal-sized company, an equal-sized contract was coming available in the federal government contracting space. Only 5%. On average, only 5% of the people who'd be bidding on the Walmart would be bidding opportunity would be bidding on the federal government contracting opportunity. You eliminate 95% of your natural competitors. And it gets even better than that. You're not competing against the Northrop Grumman's or the Lockheed Martin's or the Leidos or the SAICs. You don't even have to compete against them. You can stay within the small business set-aside program and only be competing against small and new businesses like yourself. So it's a double good deal there. Not only do you have fewer competitors, but you don't even have to compete with the big ones. You only have to compete with the other new and small businesses in the federal government contracting industry. Now, why is that? Why is that in the world's largest customer that only 5% of U.S. companies pursue federal government contracts? Well, here's why. The federal government contracting industry is different than any other market. It's just different. Is it better? Is it worse? Who knows? It's just different. And they're very specific on what they want and how they want it. Well, you've got to respond to a request for proposal. There's, you know, all these sections to the request for proposal that you got to make sure that you're compliant with. And the sales cycle is incredibly long. It is incredibly long. But most people, most companies, they don't do it because it's different. It's hard. It's confusing. It's new. They don't understand it. They don't get the culture. They understand they understand the commercial sector because they're a commercial company and they understand what they would want. But the federal government is different. The Department of Defense is different. And here's the good news. Fact five, you are at such a tremendous advantage over a lot of other companies because of your veteran experience. You get the culture. You get it. You know, so You have direct firsthand experience dealing with these organizations, at least the Department of Defense. And that's the big boy on the block when it comes to the budget. So you at least have experience with that. However, everybody follows the Department of Defense's way of doing business, and you know, with respect to acquisition and procurement. It's the DoD that has the Defense Acquisition University. It's the Department of Defense that takes the Federal Acquisition Regulation and even takes it one step further for the DFAR, you know, for, you know, very specific guidelines. They're the ones who have the acquisition professional community within their ranks. So they really, really, really lead the way for the rest of the federal government contracting industry. So even though, you know, they are a single department, and they're by far the largest one, plus everybody also, all the other departments are at least, they're at least shaded by the way the DoD, you know, does business. They're at least affected by it there. They, if not directly follow the way the DoD does it. So that experience is much more relevant than just one department. Now, I want you to think about what it means to be a veteran. Well, being a veteran means that you've got the 100% most relevant education and training in the world to be a federal government contracting company startup, you know, founder. Why do I say that? Because the training that you've received and the education that you received in the military, it was custom made for that particular customer. It was made by the customer. You know, for example, I am a Naval Academy graduate, and I'm also a Naval Postgraduate School graduate. However, all my training in the military, wow, I can't tell you how many different schools and programs and training curricula that I completed while I was in uniform and in the reserves is mind-boggling. How much money the Department of Defense invests in each one of us to learn how to do our job better than anybody else in the world. So our education and training is the most relevant to this industry than any other in the world. If you're a veteran, then you've got four years is probably the minimum, 4 to 25 years of the most relevant industry experience in the world. You lived it, at least for 4 years. You know, you lived it. You lived it 24 hours a day in many cases during that time frame. So, but you at least have 4 years, and many of you are retiring. You know, 25 plus years of experience, supporting, being part of the customer. You were the customer in many regards. Four to 25 plus years. You've got 4 to 25 plus years of the most relevant leadership experience in this industry. Things are different in this industry. When an admiral or any flag officer or general officer walks into your room, what do? You pop to attention. You know, you get the culture. You understand how the chain of command works. You understand how to maneuver and get things done in an environment that most people are just confused by. And then finally, your colleagues, your friends, you know, both still in uniform and out of uniform, are the most relevant network anybody could have in any industry. These people are customers. They're either past customers, current customers, future customers. They have a whole breadth of experience. And these are the people that you call colleagues and friends. They're in your Rolodex. If I was to go to the automotive industry right now, do you know how many people I'd have in my Rolodex? Zero. Zero. Now, take an aspiring entrepreneur who worked 4 to 25 years in the automotive industry and put them in the federal government contracting industry. What kind of network do you think they're going to have initially? It's probably about the same as mine in the automotive industry. So that's the advantages that you have being a veteran and being an aspiring entrepreneur, considering the federal government contracting industry as your market of choice? So again, let me just summarize this because I don't want to beat a dead horse. You know, five facts are, one, a ton of money every single year is being spent on items and in areas that are directly relevant to veterans' experiences. The small business set aside is unique, and they are ensuring that you are playing on about a level of playing field that is humanly possible. You know, you are competing against other new and small businesses. They have guaranteed earmarks for these, for these small businesses. It gets even better. With fact number three is they have very specific earmarks for certain types of small businesses to include service-disabled, veteran-owned small businesses. And most of the government organizations that fall under the purview of the Small Business Set-Aside Program can't find enough SDVOSBs to give their minimum earmark to. Billions of dollars being left on the table. Why? Because they can't find enough qualified SDVOSBs to take it. Four, fact number four, only 5% of U.S. companies even compete for federal government contracts. Even if you had to compete against all federal government contracting companies, you would still be eliminating 95% of your natural competitors. However, it gets even better. You don't have to compete against the big boys in our industries. So the number of competitors that you have competing in the federal government contracting industry for the world's largest customer is much, much smaller than 5% because of the small business set aside. You can choose to compete only against other new and small businesses, and those numbers are much smaller. And then finally, your veteran experience ideally qualifies you to be head and shoulders above your competitors and that are non-veterans. Why? You've got the most relevant education and training in the world for this industry. You've got the most relevant industry experience than any of your competitors. You've got the most relevant leadership experience and understanding that leadership culture than anybody else. And don't discount that. I'm talking very quickly about it and I'm moving, through it real quickly. Culture is such a majorly important thing. And then finally, your network. People who are just like you. People who are still maybe in uniform and other former veterans. You've got the most powerful network possible for the federal government contracting industry. That is a lot to give up in order to choose a different industry to launch a company in. So again, a lot to give up. There's a lot to exploit if you choose the federal government contracting industry. So those are the five facts that you need to consider when you're making that choice. What industry should I launch my company in? I hope this helps, and I will see you during the next podcast. Talk to you soon.